gently on the floor and began unwrapping it, revealing the pieces of his portable alchemy lab. He opened a large book, then flipped to a marked page. "That lichen," he said, looking up from the picture in the book to a patch of mossy green fungus at the base of the room's wall. "You go and scout, and keep Guinevere as relay. If you find any more of the lichen, gather it." "For?" "Many things, and probably many more I haven't yet discovered," Regis answered. He reached into one pocket and pulled forth a vial filled with a bluish liquid. "And here," he said, offering it to Drizzt. The drow took it, looking at his halfling friend curiously. "A potion of healing," Regis explained. "Good to have until Catti Bree is back, at least." Drizzt nodded and started away. "Fire protection," Regis said suddenly, turning him back. "The lichen, I mean. I think I can use it to finish a potion of fire protection, and if I'm to be marching beside Catti Bree, that is something I desire. She seems to favor the flame." Drizzt smiled and nodded, his hand going to Icing Death, which similarly protected him, and his thoughts going to the ring he had given to Catti Bree that afforded her the same. He was thinking about the longer-term implications, fitting pieces of the greater puzzle together to find even more harmony and power within the group. He glanced one last time at Regis, who had buried his nose in his alchemy book and who was, obviously, musing along the same lines.
"Allow me," Wulfgar said.
Brunner, still holding the skull, looked at him and hesitated.
"Please," Wulfgar added.
"Are ye sad that ye weren't there to bury your dad the first time?" Brunner asked with a wry smile as he handed the skull over.
"Just respect," Wulfgar explained. "Respect owed to you."
He knelt beside the cairn and gently moved aside the stones.
"It is sobering," Catti Bree said, standing back with Brunner.
She draped her arm across the dwarf's sturdy shoulders.
"I wonder how I will feel when I return to Mithril Hall and look upon my own grave."
"Sobering," Brunner replied with a snort. "Feeling more like I could use me a bit of the gutbuster."
He put his arm around his daughter's waist and pulled her closer. Wulfgar put the femurs back in place first, then tenderly placed the skull. Before he replaced the stones, he stood at the foot of the grave, where Catti Bree and Brunner joined him. As the woman consecrated the grave, Wulfgar and Brunner lowered their eyes. It proved a cathartic moment for this unusual family. They did not bury their past here, just their past differences, Wulfgar most of all. When Catti Bree finished her chant, he pulled the woman close in a tight hug.
"Ever have I loved you," he said,
but there was no tension there in his voice or between them.
"And now I am glad to be back beside you, both of you."
"I didn't think you'd leave Eruladun to return to Toril," Catti Bree said.
"Nor did I," Wulfgar replied. "Curiously, I have not regretted my choice for a moment of the last 21 years. This is my adventure, my journey, my place."
"Will you tell me about your wife and children in time?" Catti Bree asked.
And Wulfgar smiled wide and nodded eagerly.
"Two lives," he said, as if he could not believe his good fortune. "Or three, as I consider the two sides of my previous existence." "Nah, just the one," Brunner decided.
He stepped away from his children to the grave and kicked at one of the stones. He looked back at the pair, nodding as if in epiphany.
"What's in here's what's counting," he said,
poking a stubby finger against his chest, over his heart.
"Not what's in there,"
he finished, pointing to the cairn. The other two, who had passed through death, who also wore their second mortal bodies, could not argue that fine point. Chapter 16. Resilience. The diminutive tiefling warlock strode angrily along the devastated section of Port Last, his dead arm swinging behind him, his bone staff tucked up under his other arm. Often he used that staff for support, but not now, not with his blood on fire with anger. They had taken his mother, if she was even still alive. They had destroyed his band of companions, his band of friends. Some of the citizens had seen Afrafrenfir down and dead. Some had seen Artemis and Treri dragged away, and Amber too. Poor Amber, hoisted upside down by her feet and jostled around like a plaything at the end of an enormous Drider's ugly arm. And Dalia had been beaten. Efren had seen that with his own eyes. When the lightning net had descended, so Efren had descended, reverting to wraith form and slipping into a crack between the cobblestones, rushing down and along the ground, then up between the planks of a nearby building. Fortunately, he had gone to the opposite side of the avenue from where Dalia's magical weapon had redirected the lightning web energy. And how proud the young warlock had been to witness his mother enacting such a mighty blast as that. But he had witnessed the savage retribution of the male Drider as well, and even in his two-dimensional form, the tiefling warlock felt his breath leaving him as that monster battered Dalia about the head, laying her low. And now she was gone. They were all gone. And Efren found himself alone. He thought of the Shadowfell and Drago Quick, once his mentor in what was once his home, but dismissed the thought with an angry shake of his head and a mutter of curses that had the many citizens moving about the disaster area looking at him curiously, as if he had surely lost his mind. They were not far off in their estimation of his emotional stability, he realized, as he took note of them. Efren was indeed nearly insane with anger and frustration and sheer hopelessness. He was alone now, 2 decades removed from his time. Was Drago Quick even still alive? And how far had the Shadowfell receded from the shores of Toril? Efren doubted he could even shadow-step back to that dark place, but he doubted even more that he wanted to. Likely he was an outlaw there, and would not survive for long. He came up before the smoldering rubble of Stonecutter's Solace, the inn a complete ruin from the magical fires and thunderous lightning of the Dark Elves' assault. Many had died in there. Almost 12 bodies had been pulled out at last count. All around him, the folk of Port Last vowed that they would rebuild. These were hardy folk, resilient and stubborn, and their words gave Efren some comfort.